Hello and welcome to the Art of Balance podcast, brought to you by Balanceology, with me, Dylan Cox, and my wife, and author of the best-selling book, Burnout to Brilliance, Jane Morris. Jane is also a regular contributor to Psychology's magazine. Together, we take a light-hearted approach whilst doing deep dives into topics that we believe can help improve your day-to-day lives. If you like what you hear, you can follow us on Instagram at balanceology.uk, or alternatively, visit our website, balanceology.uk. Today's episode is all about loneliness, and we're going to be talking about the different types of loneliness that exist and how they affect people in different ways, but also how getting to the root cause of loneliness is hugely important to dealing with it. We're going to be giving you some tools and exercises that... Episode 29, and today we're talking about loneliness. Jane, throughout the pandemic, loneliness has been more talked about, it's been more visible around conversations about mental health, etc. And that time that people have spent isolating away from loved ones, friends and family has had a big impact. And today we thought we could just talk about that a little bit and how you can help people who are dealing with loneliness.
Yes. So, well, definitely with the pandemic, it's come into focus, especially because of that sense of social isolation. But loneliness is something that, again, a bit like some of these other things that have been more talked about, it's been there in the background, and there's quite often been stigma, shame attached to it, just like with burnout, really. And one of the benefits is that now we are talking about these things more openly, and people are finding the confidence to kind of dissolve any of the shame and feel that they can open up and really make contact with those emotions that have been very difficult for them. And quite often it's because those emotions, when they come up, challenge our experience from childhood as to whether or not those emotions are allowed or valid or acceptable in certain scenarios. So there is the social isolation side, but it's the kind of the loneliness that's been there a longer term for people under the surface is usually the emotional loneliness. So you could be surrounded by people all of the time and not actually have been cut off from those social interactions at all, and yet still feel lonely.
And I guess the flip side of that is a lot of people could be alone, but quite happy being alone. Yes. And not be lonely. So,
yes.
And loneliness presumably affects everybody differently. We all have a different personal experience of loneliness. And one of the definitions I read for loneliness was that our need for rewarding social contact is not being met. And that's where the sort of the root of loneliness can come from.
Mm. And that quite often is whenever there's a lack of somebody that you have as a confidant, someone who's really significant in your life that you feel that you can really trust, that you're maybe in a loving relationship with. And even with, as I say, like a good social network, when that person or group of people aren't there where we feel we can really deeply open up and relate, then that's where that lonely feeling can really emerge. And it's, as you say, different for everybody how we relate to loneliness, not just based on our experience of what that meant and any sort of beliefs around it being an acceptable feeling, but also the difference between the frequency, the duration, and the intensity at which we experience loneliness. It's like a spectrum, really, and it might be, you know, for one person, quite an occasional transient type of feeling. For somebody else, it could be quite chronic and long-lasting and a bit of a downward spiral that they get sort of drawn down by and then can't quite get back up and make the change. And really, in this podcast, we want to talk about how you can make a change. If you're listening to this and identifying with it either for yourself or someone you love and care about, then we want to be able to give you sort of tools and a sense of ability to get back up create an upward spiral for yourself.
Exactly. And you may think, oh, I'm in a relationship, I've got a good friendship circle, etc., and I'm not sure if this is actually loneliness that I'm dealing with, but it can affect people in those situations as well quite severely, because there's that feeling of maybe not being fully accepted or being fully understood.
Yes, and I think that part of not being fully understood, again, really does play into this. You can feel lonely because you don't feel like you fit in. You can feel lonely because you've maybe had a bereavement. You know, there's so many different entry points to loneliness. There can quite often be an event, a specific event. So for some, for example, that could have been the pandemic. For somebody else, it could have been the loss of a loved one. It could be that you changed a job and the environment you found yourself in the new organisational setup, you don't quite feel that you've got the same support around you, or the people don't quite relate to you in a way where you were maybe previously really well understood by your colleagues. Suddenly you feel like you're not quite a fit, and you don't, you just don't get that need that you talked about met. Yeah. In that particular aspect of your life.
And if I look back on times in my life where I've had sort of episodic moments of loneliness, it's been in those kind of situations, not necessarily with a job, but moving to university for the first time, kind of truly moving away from home. And not, it didn't last for very long, but there was definitely a feeling of that first few weeks of just being a bit lonely, don't know these new people, don't know the kind of how this whole university system works. Don't have my mum holding my hand for it all. Didn't have you. And yeah, even when I moved to Japan when I was 21, it was, you know, I was placed in a small town and didn't speak the language. Friends that I'd made lived, you know, hundreds of miles away. It was very lonely in that period. But then I kind of adapted and got used to it. But I definitely feel like, yeah, they were led by not necessarily childhood experiences, but by a change of environment or a change of situation.
Yeah. And that when you're in a situation that has changed, there can be a feeling of lostness, like that's how it's often described, emptiness. It can, and that then when that sort of sets in, it can start to shrink your confidence. So you can start to kind of withdraw, because the feeling of loneliness then impacts on the feeling you have of self-worth, of your ability to put yourself out there and make new connections and sort of dust yourself off and put yourself in situations that might then lead to you bringing in more joy. So that's where this downward spiral can start to kind of come in, where the loneliness feeds into other things that otherwise would be behaviours that would help you out of it. So it's how to kind of counterbalance that.
Okay, so how could somebody manage their loneliness? How could they counterbalance that?
So I think the first thing is to notice the thoughts that you're having and try to detach from them. So being curious about your thinking, as if you're an observer sat at the side of a room somewhere watching yourself go about your day-to-day life, and almost like in a cartoon, you know, where you have the little thought bubbles that come up, observing yourself and observing what are those thoughts that are coming in, and noticing that you actually have a choice as to whether you engage with those thoughts or not, whether those thoughts are going to lead to something in terms of a feeling or a behaviour that's going to be positive for you and is going to help lift you up and out of the loneliness. And notice, what would you need to think instead of that thought that you're having if you wanted to change the kind of knock-on effect, the domino that follows? So if you notice, for example, that you're getting up in the morning and the first thought you're having is, oh, I'm not going to meet anyone new today, or I don't fit in this environment. Just being very objective with that thought and then noticing what you might need to hear from yourself to help you to challenge it and to turn it around.
So it sounds like to me, Jen, that there's a bit of work to be done initially around self-esteem and confidence and building up that belief that you are, worthy of people's time, that people want to be with you. And how could you do that? Could you remind yourself of times when you've had great connections with people, or you've made friendships? And what other advice could you give around that?
Yeah, so definitely reflecting on other times in your life when you have had connections that have felt great, even if those friendships have dissolved or fallen away, or you haven't managed to maintain them. So not dwelling on the fact that maybe things have fallen apart in certain areas of life, or beating yourself up for not maintaining friendships, because so many people have been so busy in their lives that one of the things that suffers the most is their friendships, and they don't really notice that until it's almost too late. So not dwelling on the fact that you might not be able to rekindle some old friendships, they've maybe gone and overlapped, you know, time's elapsed too much, but also not letting that put you off attempting to rekindle things either, because sometimes it's actually a very nice surprise that people get when they think that somebody who hasn't heard from them for a few years might not be interested anymore, but actually they're thrilled to hear out of the blue from a lost connection. But to think back to when you have had these friendships in your life or connections in whatever shape or form they took, and notice that while that was live, while that was like real time, there was something about you that other person appreciated, and that hasn't gone anywhere. The relationship might have changed and shifted, but that part of you that meant that you were lovely to be around and that people enjoyed your company and all those great things, their tributes and the capabilities you have, those are all still there inside. You might need to dust them off a bit and polish them up, but they're there. So looking for those, reminding yourself of those, reminding yourself of what makes you fun to be with and what makes you interesting to someone else who's got similar interests to you, and building yourself back up in terms of slowly looking for these things. And you might want to journal about them or write a poem about them or draw a picture of you, a brighter version of you that you know is in there and you want to get to know again.
This has brought to mind an exercise that I do a lot with people around self-esteem and confidence, which is it's a kind of broadly known coaching technique, and we may have talked about it before on previous episodes, but I'll just bring it up here. And it's basically you can go to five people whose opinions you respect and trust, that could be friends or family members, from sort of different areas of your life though, if you can, and you ask them the following questions and they respond to you. And the questions are, what one word or phrase describes me best? What do you think is my greatest achievement? What do you value most about me? What one thing could I change for my own benefit? And what do you believe to be my greatest strength? We'll pop those questions in the blurb on the podcast, so you can take some time to look at them if you want to do that exercise. But it's actually a really great way of getting some really good feedback. And I know some of you might be thinking, yeah, well, what if they say something bad about me? Just dump them. No, I'm joking. It overwhelmingly, the responses are really positive, mm-hmm. and you'll be surprised at A, how they think about you, and B, how much of an impact you have on them in a positive way. So it's a great way just to build that self-esteem six pack, you know, go to the gym full of self-esteem. The mind gym I was talking about, not the actual body weights gym.
Yeah, so you really want to be so boosting that back up. So that is a really great exercise. And challenge thoughts that you might have. It might be about sharing that exercise even, you know, you might hold back on sharing that exercise, or you might be holding back in reconnecting with a friend because you imagine that they are thinking something of you that is really just in your imagination. It isn't necessarily the case. So challenging yourself to be a shade braver with reconnecting and really just finding a way in general to start talking about how you're feeling with those who you are in contact with in your life. And if you don't have people that you feel you're on that level with to be able to open up, or it feels like it wouldn't be appropriate for some reason, there are so many different avenues available, especially as a result of the pandemic. There are lots of charities, for example, that have established. There are lots of professionals like Dylan and I who are there wanting to help and are trained in helping people who have been finding it difficult to connect and talk. So reach out and do get help, whether it's from a charity or other ways.
Absolutely. And one of the things I was going to ask you, Jane, because this is an area where I feel some of my loneliness in the past has come from, is this feeling that I feel sometimes different to everyone else. And I don't know if many people have experienced that, but you kind of just feel that you don't fit in. I remember a feeling like that not so much at school, but a little bit at school, but at university, living abroad, working in offices, I just always felt like I was a bit of an outsider, a bit of a, not necessarily a pariah, but not quite in it with everybody, if that makes sense. And I guess because we're quite tribal by nature, there is this need, this kind of inward need to be belonging to something.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, like thousands of years ago, if you were not part of the tribe, it would have cost your life. Now it doesn't cost your life. It just leads to isolation and feelings of kind of loneliness and sadness. And I just wondered, you know, what is the root cause of that, perhaps? And also, what can you do to start making yourself feel like, actually, maybe I am different, but that's not a bad thing?
I think one of the other things that's available, and this is in so many different shapes and forms, are groups, forums around interest areas, which quite often the reason for that particular type of experience that you've had, which I can fully relate to myself, a lot of the time
we didn't meet in a forum or group, did we?
No. But we did when we met. The reason why we were kind of magnetized was because there were different aspects of our interests and different things that we hadn't in previous relationships before meeting each other been able to fully share with another person, because we'd had partners who, say for example, my taste in music didn't match with somebody else's taste in music, or my interest in martial arts and or whatever. And we were very fortunate in when we came together, just having all these things.
I just said what you wanted to hear, Jane.
but that need to have those interests or those passions lit up inside you and shared with somebody else can be met by a group, a forum. It doesn't necessarily need to be your significant other who meets that need, right? So for example, I'm thinking of, you know, groups like, I run a women's group, for example, every change of the seasons. There are groups that exist for a whole range of different things, and connecting with other people, men, women, you know, whatever age and stage, going through similar life circumstances and gathering as like-minded individuals wanting to explore a certain area. I think that can be another way of making those, it's really the deeper connection with yourself.
Exactly. And I think that's, when I sort of went back through it recently, I was thinking, like, why do I feel different? And I think there can be a number of factors, right? They can be from you maybe all grew up in the same place, your peer group at school, say, and you didn't feel connected to them. But you could have had a different financial experience to them, you could have been from a different ethnicity to them, different mm-hmm. cultural experience at home, different religion, whatever it is. And that you then start, this is talking personally, you then start telling yourself, I started telling myself that I'm different. And then you start perpetuating that. And I guess it's just a story at the end of the day that I was kind of telling myself, I feel different, I am different, I'm not allowed to do this, I do this, I don't do that. And I started, without really noticing it, pushing myself to the outside. And that's where the loneliness comes in, because you feel like, I'm not really part of that clique or that group. Yeah, we're friends, but you don't really, like I said before, you don't really feel in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess as it developed in childhood, that story doesn't change. So you kind of, the work I've done around it is trying to change that story.
Yeah.
And that can help.
Yes, I agree. And I think that, say, for example, with what's been shifting around diversity at the moment, as a result of that, there are groups for specific genders or gender identities, for specific cultural identities to come together and actually have a shared place to then explore how being of a different ethnicity to the, say, the majority in a school system as a child, how that impacted on you and being able to come alongside others who have had shared experiences, so that we can basically resolve wounds from the past and more openly accept every part of who we are and more freely express that. So, for example, I had a client I was working with who identified that she had never actually felt part of a group that represented her ethnicity, because she was in an ethnic minority in the system where she grew up, in the place where she grew up. And she wanted to then connect with women from different ethnicities who had a similar experience, because there's a richness that comes from those shared experiences.
Absolutely.
And a deep, it's that deep connection that then ultimately balances or counterbalances the loneliness.
And what, yeah, excellent. And I think one of the things that I realized was that, and that sort of helped me changing this feeling that I'm an outsider and I'm different, was that we actually share, even with the people that we think we're different to, we share more in common than we have in a difference. And I guess that feeling of feeling different to everyone else can manifest in various different ways. Like you might feel like you stick out, and that's self-consciousness that everyone's looking at me, or I said the wrong thing at a social event, and you go home with the guilt and worry about that. But everybody's kind of living their own movie in a sense, and they're the star in that movie to a certain degree, and they're worrying about the things they said or didn't say, and the thing that you think is really significant is often not that significant to others. But that sense of loneliness, when you feel like you can't connect to other people in a social environment, only then, you know, reinforces it for you. Like, I can't connect to these people. I don't know them. I don't feel comfortable around them. And you then get maybe scared of social events. And you can rely on other methods to kind of get you through that. And I don't think that's the downward spiral you talked about at the beginning, right? That's like you're going down into a kind of place where it's not positive for you. But there's kind of steps to get you out of that downward spiral to go back up, I guess, Jane. And patterns can change and you can shift, etc. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is in taking small steps, and it is in noticing the shifts, noting the changes as you make them, just the very small ones, because they then become like a catalyst for more change, more shift, more positive steps. So when you do start talking, for example, reconnecting, and you're building on that self-esteem muscle that you described, that grows more. You know, it's through taking action that the confidence grows. And as the confidence grows, you feel more confident to take more action. And that upward spiral then is what then starts to perpetuate rather than the downward spiral. So alongside those steps is self-care, is reconnecting in terms of with yourself, going into nature, because when we're in nature and we appreciate the beauty and the awe and the majesty of nature, we're actually, in doing that, we're connecting with what's inside of us. We are nature. So when we appreciate the beauty around us and the amazingness of the natural world, we start to ignite and stir something inside of us that is actually a kind of a simultaneous amazement of our own wonder, when it's subconscious.
And you can be very connected whilst being alone in nature, right? You can be super connected to the, again, we talked about noise last week, I think, and you can cut out all of the noise and you can just listen to the noise of nature. You know, maybe you've got a motorway buzzing in the background, but you can try and block that out. But the birds, the wind, the squirrels running around, whatever it is, or even if it's just a field you walk through, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just that you have more space when you're out in nature, and hopefully everyone listening to this has a space somewhere where they can get to nature. You know, no matter how small, it's just going to be beneficial to you, right? And I think that's proven, and you know, I think you only have to go out into nature to feel that connection, which is really important.
I even open the window, feeling the breeze. You know,
small steps, open the window.
But that sort of sense of self-care that comes alongside taking that time and that space, quietening all that mental chatter, and being aware of what is going on, which was one of the starting points. You're noticing those thoughts, noticing that you have a choice as to whether or not you engage with them, and doing more of what lights you up. There are lots of different sort of therapies that can be really helpful for combating loneliness. One of the sort of more recent forms of therapy is laughter therapy and humour therapy.
I don't specialise in it, guys, but I know you get a lot of laughter out of this.
I do remember there was a period when I'd burnt out and I was feeling quite lonely because I was, you were at work all day, I was on my own during the day.
Slaves of the corporate machine.
Didn't feel that I had the energy to talk, actually, to friends at the time. I felt quite, well, I was exhausted, I burned out. And one of the things that got me through that period and kind of built myself back up was watching movies that were light-hearted and you know, made me laugh. It is about just very gently sometimes, depending on what sort of situation you're in, warming yourself back up again and nourishing yourself.
And protecting yourselves from those unhealthy ideas or thoughts. Like the classic one is, I guess, comparing yourself to others, like, oh, they've got loads of friends, or they're doing so well in their job and they're doing so well in their life. And that kind of comparison comes with no real intel into how that person's feeling or what's going on with them. And it's an unfair comparison. And I know now with social media and just, like we said, the noise of everything else, you're getting it thrown at you how perfect other people's lives are, how well they're doing. And, you know, everyone's quick to show their successes, but not so much their failures, which is a shame, really, because, you know, often the failures are the biggest learning points and the ones where people actually gather around people and help them. But try not to, I guess, is my message, is not to fall into that habit of comparison, because it's rarely very productive or helpful. Yeah. And yeah, going back to what you said about looking after yourself, I guess it's the things we talk about a lot on this podcast, is like sleep, diet, exercise, nature, reducing reliance on things like dependencies on alcohol regularly. You know, obviously, you know, do things in moderation to how you feel. But another thing I read as well that's really good, and people, you know, it depends what kind of person you are, is spending time with animals. We talk about nature, but yeah, animals, you know, pets, other people's pets. There'll be probably, even if you live in a city farm where you can go down, or there'll be a local farm where you live, where, you know, it's not a zoo, it's not that kind of environment. It's just, you know, you can go to a farm with animals and spend some time with them, and it often can pick you up. You know, it might sound simple, but yeah.
It's so simple and yet so profound, I think, for so many people when they are feeling lonely. And the starting point of maybe joining a network or a group or some sort of other community feels too big a stretch or a leap to take. As a starting point, building a connection with an animal is amazing. I've got a number of clients who signed up to dog walking sites where they then looked after other people's pets where they couldn't commit to taking on an animal themselves. I remember at one stage, actually, whenever I was working from home, I've worked from home previously for like, you know, 10, nearly 12 years, yeah, of working from home, not feeling lonely. And then went through a period about 4 years ago where I felt really lonely for some reason. And
oh, then, the guinea pig phase.
Yeah. And yeah, we rescued some guinea pigs and they brought so much joy in and lifted all that loneliness, like, you know, at that stage.
Started
and,
with two, ended up with six. A bit too many.
And then,
they're lovely.
And then obviously, you know, we now are very fortunate to have a four-legged dog friend as well, Blade, who for me has really opened up so much in terms of being able to go and do walks and things that I wouldn't maybe have done on my own as a female in certain environments that would have felt a bit, I would have been placing myself in a, you know, vulnerable position, which would, but you know, it's like I've now got a companion for doing more in nature, which is a double benefit, really. So yes, absolutely, animals. And the other thing I was going to say is one of the damaging sides of the pandemic has been obviously the mask wearing and the fact that people aren't seeing or weren't seeing, and in some everywhere, everyone's living in different places and there's different restrictions still in place and those are forever changing, but obviously, masks stop us from seeing people's smiles.
Oh, you were talking about actual masks.
Yeah, physical masks that people have been forced to wear that have cut off from that that connection. That I'm convinced, I've not seen a study yet, but I'm convinced there's a direct link between people not seeing other people's faces for so long and loneliness. Because even where, you know, men suffer from loneliness, interestingly, less than women typically, but even where there was somebody perhaps living alone who was perfectly fine living alone and not even seeing people 5 days out of seven or something, which is quite common in the older generations, at least that person was going to shop and having a face-to-face, full-face experience, where when that got taken away, I'm sure that's what also played a part in ramping up those figures of, you know, as drastically as it did in terms of the percentage of adults that were finding themselves lonely in the last couple of years. So yes, where you can, smile. If someone catches your eye, give them a gentle smile. You know, I know it's different in London when you're on the tube and there's a kind of unspoken rule of not smiling. We always break that one ourselves.
But it's very rare that if you smile at someone they don't smile or at least feel better for that smile. It's like one of the greatest things you can do, and it's free, easy, and genuine. I just wanted to pick up on one last thing, Jane, and it was really about, I've often felt like, going back to that feeling different to everyone else, I often felt as well a bit like a social chameleon in different settings and was just trying to people please and stuff like that. And it was getting to me a bit because I felt like I didn't really know who I was, so I couldn't really put it across to other people. This sort of went on through my 20s and 30s. And I think I had to do a values exercise, and we talked about values in a previous podcast episode, and we can link to that in the notes for this one. But yeah, it was really important to me to find out what my values were and what I stood for. And once I had done that, I then felt less of a social chameleon and more confident in who I was and what I could talk about. And it was okay not to know everything about everything. So when you're talking to someone, you didn't have to know what, you know, they may have an interest in heavy metal. I know nothing about heavy metal. So I didn't have to pretend to know like one or two bands. It would be like, okay, you can tell me about that. I don't know about it. It's not one of my interests, but I'm happy to talk about it. And if you don't get on with that person, that's fine. And that was just, you know, that's helped me feel less anxious, less lonely, I guess, in those social environments, because you've got a bit more confidence. So it goes back to that. But yeah, we can, like I said, link to the Values podcast if you wanted to listen to more about that.
Mm-hmm. Great. And I think that also links with honesty and vulnerability.
We've done that as well. Yeah, we've done honesty
we'll
as well.
We'll share a link there too.
We've got them all there. Yeah. Almost on 30 episodes, so keep subscribing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Jane, for today. I think it's been really helpful for me, again, just go over these things and talk about them, and hopefully the listeners have had a few things to think about to take away with them.
Fabulous. Great speaking again, and look forward to catching you next time. Bye.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. It was a big topic, loneliness, and we only managed to skim the surface really about what it really means, what types of loneliness there are, and what kind of things you can do to help stop feeling lonely and starting to feel more connected. Now, if you'd like to find out more, there are plenty of resources out there, but we'll list a few in the description of this podcast. And also, we're writing an article at the moment which will go into a lot more depth about the kind of support and the techniques you can use to really, really start feeling better about yourself.